so, well, I...
He wasn't the oldest, he was one older.
Yeah, well, Grenville was the one who was here when we were, now Rusty, and Rusty, was he still alive, when did he pass away?
66.
66. Well, he must have been around still, right? Was he still in...
But they were living in Bradford at that point, weren't they, like, he lived in Bradford with her for a while, not very long, but he did, he was there for a while.
I don't remember, I know he lived in the trailer there on, Norm Fisher's place, or right beside...
But there are very many people in the township who were in the service. Or they're all road bulls.
Well, Art Neeshaw.
And Rory Ferris is better. Yeah, and...
Which Neeshaw was it, Art Neeshaw?
Or Mabel.
Dad's brother, Goldie.
Zach Wilson, he's third.
There was a Gray. One of the Grays was in the service. I'm just trying to think of the fact that was or is up at the Scottsdale Church.
Well, there's one of them on there, Paul, isn't there? I had a name in the service. March, mother's sister, March.
March or Joan?
March, as a nurse.
Going to wax?
Went overseas as a nurse. My grandma.
She's still alive?
Nope, she did quite a lot, younger than mother and died, 1975.
The reason I'm asking, we're trying to put, to pull together a story of the Chapman Air Force, Chapman Army, or Chapman Navy, about this, what happened of their career, what their service career was like, what was that? So if either of you are old, you can definitely do a word. You're not looking for a Navy person, so you have to find one Navy. It's a question, well, like I'm saying...
Getting a bit rare now, they're talking, people are picking 80 years old to burn the service now.
Earl still has his one, like, it's for the, like, he was over here in Timbo, in the line patches. He's still got his logbook, and here's his logbook, it's, it was February, March of 1944. He did 33 ops, in other words, he did 33 flights between the 20th of January and the 20th of March. And here's one about the middle of March, and all it says is, S-E-N, which is in the word, and that their flight was 4 hours and 37 minutes or something like that. Just, you know, it's just such a privy comment, I just think what it was like to go in that environment for 4 hours and 37 minutes. And all you, and all the record that you have, it just says S-E-N. It's quite a story, but I just wondered...
Well, Marge's husband, he was a navigator, he stayed in the Air Force after the war. And I said, did you see any action? Well, yeah. I said, well, how much? Well, I was shot down twice, that ought to do for a bit of action. Didn't say anymore, and you couldn't get any more out of him, that was the end of that statement.
I started in the Gulf in fall of '45, so Chapman, 3/4, but 75% of the service. And so you had all the people who, you know, had been served, and then you had a whole group of guys, we had about 15 or 18 guys who were in the field. They were talking.
I was gonna say, a lot of them didn't want to talk about it at all.
And so you didn't until you got a third one before, the rear, and then they would start to talk about themselves. They just sat and listened. And I know I had two guys across the hall from me. They all did. And that's how we did that, from, we started in September until Christmas time, most of that time was going to be down. So why not?
Jimmy.
Most of the real study group was going to be down.
Jimmy what?
I
brother married my father's sister, and he went overseas with the Sheikhs after. And he said, anybody that wasn't scared either didn't see action or lying like hell. And that's all that I would learn from him. I learned no more. He was up there in the front line long enough to give him shakes for the rest of his life. Must have been pretty great.
Do you know anything about the guns? Does the name gun mean anything to you? Like, there's guns buried up here.
No, I don't know anything about them. And I think I've heard my grandmother's other mention of them. When was Stone? He bought that farm. Lot 1 from Section 5, yeah, South half. No, I'm looking at South half Lot 1, which would be for harvest. Yeah, John Stone, John W. Stone farmed there, but not for very long, only 3 years. And then, see, he also farmed where Bill Culbert was. I think that's where my grandmother Sutherland was born. Let it be,
that would be
Lot 3.
Lot 5, but that would be Concession 5, north half of
3. Well, there was, where those houses are, there was a graveyard up there. And I understand that, well, the farm and they're all the stones, he just dragged them back and used them as a path. Right behind Bill Culbert's house.
Go back to 1908. William H. Stone, he bought 3/4 of the acre. And the northwest quarter. So that would be a small house on Lot 3. And then in 1916, William H. Stone was bought from the southwest corner of the Lot 3. So that would be down on the 4th, right? On the northwest piece on the 4th.
Yes.
And he owned that until 1919. Ethel Fever, like Carnegie. And then Wesley Clark. And then Abraham MacArthur. And then Paul Hudson. So that's that goes back to that was the Hudson. So
that's the Fisher place, first of all?
Yeah.
Or the Fisher.
So the storm goes that's the storm. The storm goes on there.
Okay.
Now there's also now if you go across to Ferris's of 6th John Ferris on the north side, his sister was one sister was Gladys Mary Bichon. Ferris Bichon's mother.
Yes.
And then there another sister was a Mrs. Stone.
Annie Stone?
Yes.
Is that
the
same
family? Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's William Stone's son, Wes. He ran the he ran Beavers.
He bought it.
And then he ran the store in Newtown. Wes Stonefield.
Okay.
Annie Stone, Annie.
And Annie Stone was a great institute worker, and she was one of the first presidents.
You see, well, it's how easy it's gonna be to spend all this.
See, and he had another, William Stone had another son. Married Joe Woods' aunt.
Run that one past me again?
Russell Stone. He farmed, I think, where maybe Armstrong is there, south of Beaton, right before you get to Beaton, south side of the road. And he was married to Bob Woods' sister, old Bob, Joe Woods' father's sister. And then, what's her name down here on the board, was another sister. Fanny. Fanny McKee.
Fanny McKee.
She was another sister. And that's down on...
That's where...
Was it Lopes or the one south?
No, it is, weren't they down where...
No, the Woods lived, Ed Wood lived where Lopes are.
But hey, but Fanny McKean was a Wood. He was Fanny Wood. Bob Wood's, old Bob Wood's sister.
Ed, well, Ed Wood. Ed Wood lived. And actually, Ed Wood's daughter lives in Chambers.
Yeah, but that could be a completely different book. I can't say it's like...
I don't think it is. Only because I think that Millie keeps in touch with her.
Okay, there was an Ed Wood that went west.
Well, this Ed Wood was, if I'm not mistaken, he was caretaker at Schomburg School for a while. And his daughter worked in the bank.
James McKean was on the south half.
Right there.
James McKean and then he sold it to Edward Ward, who sold it to Fern and Norm Fisher, who sold it then to Victor Boat. Is that the same Norm Fisher?
Yes. And then he moved up to bought the 50 up the street. You really never farmed that much. You know, you needed living there. Thanks, Paul.
Did he have horses?
His son was a jockey. I think they were trained for it.
Like, well, Mrs. Fisher just died here just a couple of, well, seems to me like it's a couple of years ago. I wouldn't be any more than 5 years.
Fern. No, Fern was her mother. Think was her name. Bishop, what was the name? Dale.
Fern J. Fisher, or Norman A. Fisher? Fern, if they already...
Fern.
And then
her mother would date. That was it.
And then, like you see, that's a dog.
Date July, an old bitch, she's there, you know, she's there. He'd get drunk and she'd leave and go home, and then he'd get bellered and worried, and then of course, that was, date was a mother, mother-in-law. No friends down here, well, of course she was there, and he knew damn well. And I never, Norm Fisher, in my lifetime that I ever knew, never drank. He quit drinking before then. And his son ended up, had to quit drinking too. Dan, what was it? Donald was his son. Chief Bill over here, he didn't know what the details of that.
How did the, when did the McCarthy boys get into the airplanes?
The only one that was interested in airplanes was young Bill.
And Frank.
Was
young
it?
Frank, yeah.
Oh, and young Frank, okay, yeah.
They both flew, they both had places. I would say in the 50s, early 50s. Late 50s, maybe, would be more accurate.
I was going to say the late 50s, because...
They were going out in
1955. Well, that would be...
Well, it must have been fairly new at that point.
And that'd be Bill. Frank wouldn't be in on that then because...
Who did
you do? Frank, 1941 model, maybe. But Frank did fly. Because he flew over and dropped in one day and had a visit.
Something I was going to tell you, and I don't know what shape they're in now, but when... As you know, I wrote the history of the stock settlement where the sulfur settlers come in as a university project. I went up in the airplane with Bill to come here to lose. I just went there to whether they're of any value or not.
Well, the thing is, you know, we could get an aerial coverage for West Waterbury in 1946. In fact, I have aerial coverage for Marsh in 1946. And we can get, in fact, we know that they're in their marshes. And you can get, like, a picture of one in 1946. A picture of the Colson's Hill in 1946. That's before the hotel was over sort of there. And that you can get Gilbert in 1946. Various spots like in 1947. And just by
going. Yeah, another cup of coffee. Are you sure?
Just by going in and you pick out the photos, and you have two options. You can either get them to give you a cup, but they have a copy system now, which is very realistic. It's hard to tell between a print, maybe a negative, and a photocopy. And the copy is a real one. And so you can get that. I have one for continental purposes. I have a full copy.
All the back
houses. You see, the Marsh in 1946 is pretty amazing. There's not too much. There's a lot of the still is. This is built up. But you just see the downpour. You just see the track through the 400. Anyway, they just where they're bulldozing. So that they bring to break land that they did. And that picture that cover. That's the break problem. That's 1946 picture. So should explain that.
Smiths have a break in Smith Garden.
Yeah.
But they still use it.
But they're still breaking land.
Yeah, that's where they are. It's about a, like 12 or 10 inch bottom. I would say this one's about 2 or 3 inches, and it must flow about 2 to 3 feet deep.
About 3 inches.
Remember seeing it, and I said, which is that what we do yet? And I was there, and they flipped up when it was land they've been working, Shankula. They flipped up a big log, and I'm sure you could have used the wood on it. And he was cursing, he said that would be tamarack. It just doesn't rot. The log was foot and a half through, and
this one's temperamental.
But they were still flipping them up. And I see them in the marsh the odd time there.
Oh, yeah,
occasionally bring a tamarack up, but I guess it was the only thing that would last that long.
Yeah.
Well, before they broke that marsh, there was no trees on it. Were there any trees on that marsh before they broke it?
The trees, it depends where you were on the marsh.
It's outside the wood.
The area close to the sides had trees. And then as you went into the river, what they call the grassy
marsh.
The marsh hay.
And that was on either side. It went in like this. But as you got close to the marsh, and as the muck got a little bit shallower, then you went into the tree pump. And that's why, and you can see what it would be like when you just look on the side of the boat now.
Garbage tree.
Underbrush, shrubs.
Poplar, things like that.
Mostly tamarack, some cedar and stuff.
Tamarack isn't garbage. You always consider that.
Well, it's not the heat of a lot of houses, exactly.
Well, also, if you put it in the barn and the sleeper, it never rot and had lots of strength.
your barn had full rafters? Your personal rafters?
Oh, the rafters?
The rafters.
They were full.
Yeah. Well, it's on the farm. The mother that we were down to, they were full rafters.
Tamarack.
The frame was sawn.
That one up there, all of them are huge. I watched the Whiteside boys hewing a log one day. I could sure see why they wouldn't take the sawmill. Like, they were old men and they weren't experienced at it, and it was unbelievable how quickly they had that log split.
Yeah.
One just puts the bite and holds it. Unbelievable.
That's right.
I wonder if they graze. Any of the graze, like I can remember the barn raising down at the graze.
Well, that was made out of more than one barn. That was, part of that was taken off of 50 acres across from Matt Hodson, you know, just west of Jock Melbourne's.
Yeah.
Used to be a barn in there. And that was part of the barn. They made one barn out of two barns. And there was no, when they did it, they took two barns and made one up on a wall.
Okay, because like I can remember them doing that, but I wondered if they ever took any pictures of
them.
Or,
who would have framed that? Artie? Who does somebody else frame that?
Well, I think Artie probably did the. See, Earl Gray, Jack's brother, was a civil engineer. I think they'd have part to do with it. Like, there was, around here, when they were building barns, there was Benny Gibson, Slack, Billy Slack. I would think of some of the others that did.
They might have had somebody who worked for Artie who had the tools for doing mortises and tenons.
Well, you see, I think this one would be already board as lieutenant to a degree. It was, they made two, one barn out of two. I'm sure, and that barn of ours, you can tell that they made barns out of, and there's mortise and tenants where there aren't things there, so obviously it was made out of another barn and moved.
Now, that's the other thing we should have been trying to do, is get some pictures of the mortise and tenants so what people understand what they are. I'm trying to get Bob Sturgill, but between me and
Well, let's cut into each other.
Oh, okay.
Get a square peg in a square hole.
And then you drive a round peg through it to hold it there.
Okay.
And then the knee braces, they're all notched in. Remember the barns, like the frame, there are no nails in the frame of an old barn. There's no nail in it. You just nail the boards and the roof and the rest of it's all.
Okay.
And that barn, the home plate, there's a timber there. 13, 14 inches square. Almost no sign of knots in it. I think it's 56 feet tall. That'd be some oak tree.
Yeah.
White oak. I'd like to show something that the timber and there's in the house. It's about definitely on it must be a 40-foot timber, and all I can find in it. It was 13 inches square. I found the odd knot about that size, the end of your fingernail, and it would just be a twig coming out of it.
You ever walked that?
I have walked that.
Someday you want to go for a walk, take the cabin with you. Walk back, break back on the fence here, and then go walk over and then trespass. Or somebody go for that post back. Just go a little bit west of where that house is. It's a big old house. It's been there for a long time. Because I would say it maybe it's 34 feet here, the branch.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be interesting to know how many roots there are in that tree. As I won't say it's original. It's about halfway across the lot.
Well, on the 50, Dutch Elm came.
What would happen if we went up the lane that's right straight across the North Lane?
Okay, if you go straight back to the lane, straight back to the home, was the far lane of the house, and go right to the back, it'll be just on your right hand side.
Did you see
back
her? Well, like Ryan is on the meter, up and down and around, and the only time that squashes him is when people get stuff planted in the fields.
Well,
back there, he takes us.
Okay. All right, well, if we go back, I think it's right about there.
No,
the bush is across here. It's not in the bush. It's this side of the bush.
Okay.
Yeah, it's this side of the bush. It's right over there.
Okay. Because there's no trailer.
Yeah.
It's
a change. It's 35 inches at the first time.
Is that right?
There's a change.
Where are those?
Yeah.
you've been off the farm 35 years.
Okay.
What's about Jeffrey? Can you tell me anything about Jeffrey's? Jeffrey was another man who was down.
Yes, they're up in Painter Way now.
Can you give us any names?
Yeah. Gordon at the farm. The Wings there when you came?
Just come.
Well, again, Gordon Jeffrey had it before that. And his sons, was it Jeffrey and a bee fertilizer or something in the dealership, more or less? That's his son.
Where, up in Stater?
Gordon is still alive, as far as I know.
He's
younger than my parents. I guess the oldest ones would be parents' age. Late 80s, but he's quite a bit younger. Leonard Jeffrey moved up there, and then Gordon.
When you say up there, are you talking Stainer?
Stainer. I just can't even, I couldn't drive you to the place. I've never been there, but I know Tom was doing custom spraying, and they got him to do it because they were selling the chemicals, and I think that was Gordon's boy, and I met him. But that's the same Jeffrey and Steve, the ones that were there. And there was a large family of them, like Leonard and Gordon came from a large family of Jeffrey. Have some interesting photographs. I don't know whether they, you said you had that one, but I have one of Gordon Bateman was sitting down as a small child. I don't know whether father was in the picture at number 3 school. So it would be about 1931 or 2. I've seen, yes, it's around somewhere. Mother or Bill will have it, I think. And it's still at Bill's place.
Well, somebody said something or other about that Bill's wife brought us boxes of stuff. Is that true?
Yeah, but there's certain, there isn't boxes, there's truckloads of stuff. All the data and stuff. I said, you look at it. You're the one with this story. And he got it all. Like any time I wanted to look at it, it was down his place. And I know she has a scrapbook of all the events that happened. I would say that was from the 30s and 40s and 50s.
Now, is that still down there with?
Yeah, I could get that. We looked all over the place and was sure it was stolen. Harry given it to Robert Sullivan. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, you have pictures. They're
what particular age and time are you interested
in? Whatever.
Oh.
Like if you have, pictures of
grandparents.
Oh, pictures of maybe of an advance.
Did you send you have pictures? I'd like to see them for you.
I've got one picture. I just have to find it. I've got a little bit of history here,
Do you have a picture of a family, or a picture of an advance, or you've got? One thing we didn't get into, and we're going to be back to this if we can. I hope you appreciate that, because but what happens is we listen to this tape, we hear things that we don't think we would mention. One thing we haven't talked about in anything is the politics of what's going on.
Liberals and conservatives?
Well, that's what...
They could get along when neighbors to election day, and then it got pretty grim.
But I mean, not in the context of, you know, but just the fact that look at the way it was. Like, I've heard the story of saying, there's a story of going back to Colonel Tierwood, who lived in Newlock, and they had a meeting in Mock Inn, and they got into a big discussion about it, and I guess both
liquid repression.
Liquid repression. And anyway, Mulock walked out and left Tierwood there. And so Tierwood goes home, and here's Mulock at his place. And he was there for two more days. and they kept on arguing for two more days. You know, I mean, things like that, which are, and then you've got the old chap who lived in the great houses. John Fennel and Bob Sturgeon together, Sam Lee. You start to get some flavor of what I'm talking about. And then they had a nomination meeting at 1 o'clock in the morning.
They had a what kind of meeting?
They had a nomination for county council at 1 o'clock in the morning. They had the hall bought in. And things like that, you know, that are kind of the anecdotal type of thing that they were looking at. You see, but the fellow who put the note in the paper didn't put in whether it was AM or PM. And so the doctor, he said 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, says 1 o'clock, so went 1 o'clock in the morning. So they had to call this order, and they had a nomination at 1 o'clock. He rounded up the people at 1 o'clock in the morning. And what did he nominate? What was... But, you know, things like that are beautiful. And I'm sorry I was going to bring it in. We gave most of a lot of our people working on trying to get the scribble. And, you know, we've got something in here. Just put down, we should talk about this. We should talk about this. And so, if you don't mind, just get a piece of paper and put it in your hand. Keep it in the truck with you. And so, you know, you've got your
think of something.
Think of something. Just put it down. Because, you know, 3 hours later,
interesting event.
Yeah, those kind of things. And also, you know, we talked about liberal conservative, but also was the politics of the township. I can remember when we first came up, we couldn't figure out what was going on because we had an election, but the person saw same token, you can write them in a way that there was the time when such and such. It makes it, and you don't have to be, but you can make reference to it. And for somebody who seems to know, it tickles their memory, and for the other people, it just washes. You know a lot more than you're telling. You know?
Well, it used to be a bit of a gathering place for, well, of course. Hulse and Father, they often got into mischief together, and the cops, the local cops, they were in about as much mischief as anybody else, would end up gathering at Father's with Hulse, which Hulse would be right there at the office.
Yeah.
The municipal building had the police station in the municipal building, the OPP were.
I mean, but I mean, the same thing. Like, there's a lot of cases, as he said. He said there were a lot of people that, somebody came, the police brought somebody in. And he basically said, okay, just leave the place. He said he just put them in the bag in the car, would take them back around the door, and would have to sit down at the kitchen table with mom and dad and say, oh, that's it.
Of the line, you're going to find a good thought into the line.
so we have these books now, or so if you want to have a look at the people, all the people who have owned the farms, like, say, on the 6th, 7th, and there, we have the workroom there in the upstairs in the town hall, and we can get you copies of these pages, so we can give you the, I mean, we can loan you the book, and so you can take it and run over, and then just take it and talk about people, so talk about, you know, make notes about people, and so on.
Thank you, Edgar. No, this one is yours.
Yep.
This one is yours. That looks like one from 1867.
George,
or no?
What the year was?
Yes. If it's so the atlas is right there. It's around there. There's one 1878, and another one that's around 1881. Or something like that. I created this one from. We got the assessment information from the township for 1858. That's the earliest assessment information. You see, that's that picture a little bit earlier. Look at it than this one here. So, but these abstract pages are best because it gives you the year that somebody bought it, how long they were there, and that's just a snapshot of 1 year.
You see, there's Eleanor's William Sullivan.
Yep.
He was the second Sullivan then. Mm-hmm. That was the old homestead one there, the W.J. Sullivan. Yeah, see, that's Donald Sullivan here. Mm-hmm. I think this William Sullivan, I don't think they're related at all.
Well, let me say that there's
Well, Donald Sullivan came with the Sullivan Scrappage. Donald Sullivan.
Or Robert, the one before.
Okay, Donald Sullivan, and then got living in the house of Wadhead, right?
I don't know.
Am I right, Eddie? Donald Sullivan from down here is the one that I interviewed in Wadhead.
How long ago?
Dave.
Yeah, well, this is Donald, which is the farm that Dave was on.
Yeah.
And Dave was a baby.
No, he would be older or younger than that. His father, maybe, or grandfather. Dave Sutherland would be, I don't know whether he was born in the 1860s or 70s, Dave, I knew.
Yeah, he lived
with and then he had a son. Dink, they used to call
Don?
Well,
who's?
Ken Tuckless. And Dink Southern. Dink Mary's sister.
Yeah. Don Sullivan. Don Sullivan is in London, and Don was also. I got that connection, and so I would have to ask then Jackie and Marie whether they followed up and see whether they had any recollection or information.
Well, I think
it's
pretty good
I remember that father.
He was the age of Clarence Mays. Where Clarence Mays? Don Sutherland. Don Sutherland down here, about the same age.
Maybe about 75.
I would guess that.
But
What is Clarence?
Clarence had a 75th birthday, and we were down there, so that would be a couple of years ago.
Clarence was the same.
I was going to say, I would think 1925 would be Clarence. I'm guessing. Or older. I'd be 78, 78. Well, Robert Sutherland.
Your uncle?
He's going to have his 80th. Each of them driving a car. He's on three models. Skippy jumped around with him. He was a 24 model. And I think Skippy was maybe a touch older than Clarence. Well, Clarence a 1925 model. Don't remember how old they are. Remember what year they're born. That's how I remember. If you know the year they're born, it never changes. Their age changes every year. That's how we remember.
25 model.
Yeah,
I'm a 25
model. You're
a 25. Just a baby.
Yeah. It's all relevant.
You're 19 years older than I am.
This is
and you're what? A 39 model?
Yep.
And the same goes when we're
now, how did you figure that out?
We're in the
school.
We're in the retirement park down where we are in Florida, you know. It's better than the alternative.
Well,
there's a lot of challenges when you start to delve into families, so it makes it very difficult because it's with some people who are quite enthusiastic. One of the ironic things, or one of the interesting things, rather, maybe part of the ironic, is that many times we're finding that the in-laws are more interested in the history of the family and the person himself.
Well, nobody argues there weren't skeletons in all the closets.
Well, we're not that interested.
I'm not worried about it. I expose all skeletons. What the hell?
Time they were out in the open,
eh? Sure, let them dry out a little bit.
It's like this guy just brought out the new biography of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, Presbyterian.
What's the point? I mean, what the difference? So what if he did?
He just wanted to, he just counting the times, is he?
Well, the funny part is that he's having a real problem. There's only this mention about this intern gal. There's only about three or four lines in the book about her. And now all of a sudden everybody's uptight about it. This is like he's named this John F. Kennedy. You heard the story of it. Well, the story is that John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, he had an intern, but she was only 19, on the side for almost a year, about 18. Months back in the 60s. And while he was president, and the press all knew about it. Everybody all knew about it. The press in those days, the press didn't, that was part of the press. Same thing with the prime ministers and stuff. They were out with the secretary and so on. That's always the way it is. So anyway, he found this one thing out. So then he attended one other girl, another person who was on the investigative reporter, she identified who this person was. And so here they are, the next thing you know, they got her picture taken, it's all in the front page of the papers in the States. And she's head honcho of the Presbyterian Church in New York City.
Presbyterian Church administrator.
In New York City. And she just had
to. Now, is that what she is right now?
Yeah. So she just took a piece of paper like this and typed out. She said, yes, she said, I am Mimi so and so. And yes, I had an affair with President Kennedy from this state to this state and so on. It's all over and done with. My family are totally aware of what went on in those days before I was married and so on and so on. End of discussion. And I will not discuss it with him. Hands this to any reporter. She hands this to him. That's it. And this guy's good. Where's this guy? A real hero. Well, they're exposed to President Kennedy.
You could fill a book with names, I think. I think you could fill a book.